All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is two-way power forward for the Philadelphia Flyers, Hollywood Kevin Hayes. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What is happening, Nast?
What's up, Riggs? Just got finished with another men's league game, brand new season. I know you know about the championship last week, but starting off 1-0, big overtime win tonight. But more importantly, what a week, man. Hockey's back.
Hockey's awesome. It's been exciting to see. And the Flyers are, you know, 2-0 and sitting at number 3 in the league. I know it's early, but it's exciting to watch them play. Young energy and a lot of positives coming out of those two games, especially against the Pens.
Yeah, it's nice to – you got your rivals coming in here, and I mean, God, the guys played great. I know a little hiccup in the second period maybe the other day, letting them back into the game.
But it happens.
It happens to everyone. People always say, oh – you know, how do they do that? I'm like, you get up 3-0, you know, Riles, you played.
Get a little loose.
You get a little loose, let them back in, and then you put the foot on the gas, and what a start by the boys, you know, like starting 2-0, that's, you know, a lot of teams don't. Flyers have done it, I think, now 2 years in a row. I think it was a stat like that I saw. I know last year we did, and then this year it's a great start, man. It's fun to watch them play, like the depth.
Oh, this team,
I know we talked about it. All four lines. I mean, it's dangerous. They're just a dangerous team.
Yeah, teams are going to have a hard time defending against their offense throughout the year. I mean, they got so many layers of scoring, and the young guys are proving to be go-to guys. You know, and the depth of the forwards is insane. You know, when you got these young guys coming in that hadn't played last year and really contributing offensively. And then obviously guys that were here last year are picking up where they left off. I mean, TK is on fire. You know, obviously a guy like Joel Farabee's putting up some numbers, Lindblom. I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, I think of all the forwards have put up at least 1 point in two games. So, I mean, that's showing, you know, that really broad, consistent offensive punch. So it's nice to see. And then you got the goaltending, obviously, and the defense core. So, I mean, it's a really nice team to watch. And, you know, I'm excited to see where this thing goes this year because I was optimistic going in. And from what I've seen, so I know it's two games. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but it's impressive.
It really is. It's hard not to be excited though watching them. I mean, like you said, the depth and, you know, Beezer coming out with his 4 points, you know, and we talked about last week having Patty and Oscar back in your lineup full time. Now it's like two free agents and what happens? They both, you know, Oscar's got two goals. Like you said, Patty's got a point a game. It's awesome. It's fun to watch. Both power plays are just buzzing too, right? Like snapping the puck around. I thought that was fun. I mean, it's almost like they're going to score every time. You don't want to jinx them. You know, obviously you're never going to score every time, but it's fun watching their power plays. I mean, Gustafson, obviously new guy coming in, throwing it just an easy, simple play, throwing it to the net. Like, you know, coaches always tell you, get it to the net. Guys are there banging them in, tips, everything. So, like you said, it's you don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but hey, man, you start 2-0. It's exciting.
It's a streak.
Yeah, right.
Question. Yeah, but they're buzzing. You know, they got a good energy, some good chemistry. It's very visible. You know, I see them to be a force to be reckoned with throughout the league. I mean, I don't see this just to be, you know, a two game, you know, surge and then they're gonna drop off. Like I feel like teams are gonna really struggle playing the Flyers all year. You know, they're just a perfectly balanced team as it looks right now. So lots to look forward to in the orange and black for sure.
Yeah, for sure. wanted to bring up our buddy Jake Voracek.
Oh,
as a player, like obviously I've never dealt with that. I've seen things happen, but it's hard not to get a chuckle out of it. We if you know Jakey, he speaks his mind no matter what.
Yep.
It could be the president of the league. It could be a pigeon like me, an equipment guy. He's just going to tell you what he thinks, but it was pretty comical. TK made it a little more comical with the look. I got a couple laughs out of it, but what do you think as a player? Like it's probably frustrating when that happens.
You know what? I don't know the backstory exactly of, you know, why Jake was, you know, was put off by the question, but obviously there was a storyline there where he felt like he was done wrong. So like you said, like Jake, he's going to say what he feels. And unfortunately, if things like that do happen, you know, post game and within the media, and you know, there has to be this mutual respect, obviously, but if guys feel like they've been done wrongly, then you know they hold this grudge, you know, and you know I think you've seen it there, but I don't know the backstory to what happened there, but TK certainly I don't know how he pulled it together, you know. I said to you earlier, like it looked like he wanted to spit out his water, but he also wanted to play it cool and act like this is just like normal. This is like normal stuff happens, but yeah, I mean it's going to be a long year if you're going to, you know, hold a grudge and let it be like that, but you know, maybe he's just proving a point and trying to let him know that, you know, we need honest reporting if that's what it was, and you know.
Yeah.
That's all we expect anyways as players, so.
Right.
It was a funny thing to wake up to the next morning. I didn't get a clip till the next morning and I was just dying. I mean, you sent it to me, you know. I was in tears because, you know, he first didn't want to answer it. Then he answers it. Then he tells him why he didn't answer it. And it's just like, it was so Jake. It was like a perfectly.
Yeah. So Jake is exactly right. Oh man. Couple things, obviously lots of games. It's so exciting. You got hockey every day, which is awesome. Connor McDavid's goals the other night.
Oh my God. He's insane.
I mean, everybody knows it, but yeah. McJesus.
He's a freak of nature in the hockey sport. Yeah.
Insane. The goal where we were talking about that, I mean, they probably were all highlight goals. Usually most of his are, but the drop pass and he comes flying through the zone. I mean, like, what do you do? Like, What do you do?
And not a whole lot. You just hope that you somehow move into his lane, you know. Yeah. I think that's just like, and just slow him down somehow. But you know, the forward, that, you know, that front line of forwards on the PK there were blown by. There was no chance that they were doing anything. And then the defenseman standing there, you know, flat footed, and there's not much either. I mean, and the guy can cut in on a dime. So I mean,
it's crazy.
It's insane.
It's so fun. I know. I was telling you earlier, like, I feel so lucky to have been on the bench for so many games, but being able to see him the last few years was, I mean, you watch him on TV and people are like, oh my God, but you're there. I mean, and you see him doing it. It's almost unbelievable. The speed he's moving at and the plays he makes. I would be afraid to go that fast. I mean, I'm pretty close.
God.
I would be afraid to go that fast. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, it's just a different dimension of speed. I mean, all NHL players are fast, right? But it's another gear. It's a different league of speed. And he has the ability of slowing down and then accelerating extremely fast. You know, that change up of speed is insane. So, yeah, man, fun to watch. You know, fun to watch, no question. So, I expect to be, you know, following him the rest of the season and seeing the highlight reels that pop up probably every other night, I'm sure. So,
all right, Riggs, let's get into our interview with Kevin Hayes, Mr. Hollywood, and it is brought to you by DraftKings. While the holiday season may be over, the sports calendar is in full swing this week. From collegiate to professional sports, there's no shortage of action, and there's no better place to get in on all of this action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried out DraftKings Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? To celebrate this year's football playoffs, DraftKings is giving all new users the chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 on any football game this weekend, and if your team wins, you cash in $100. While we are all excited for football, let's not forget the 2021 hockey season is in full swing now. So head over to the app, check out all of DraftKings' daily odd boost to help you make it rain. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That's code Knuckles for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action this weekend for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITHIT. That's 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Welcome back to Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
I'm Derek Settlemyer. Thanks for joining us. Today we have an unbelievable guest, just an absolute great guy. I like to call him Hollywood, Kevin Hayes. Thanks for coming, bro.
Of course. I didn't have the nickname Hollywood for about 6 years of my life until I met Nasty. I thought it was in the back burner, but I show up to Philly and all of a sudden Hollywood's back and it's officially been my name in Philadelphia. So thank you.
Oh yeah, man.
Not a bad name.
I just like saying it.
Yeah, right. It's great.
I just like saying it every time I see Hollywood. Yeah. He's
like, God, man. So it originated when I was like way younger. You know, when you're younger playing in all these tournaments, my dad had me playing for like 6-7 teams. Like literally 8 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2, 4, eat sometimes. And I played for the St. Moritz Devils, and it was all this red gear, like red helmet, red gloves, red pants. And so every team, no matter the colors, I kept my gear, so it just would look horrible. And I wore number 99.
Oh.
I remember I walked into the locker room with this guy, Mark Adams, was our coach. And I'm like, you guys don't mind if you call me Hollywood, right? And I was like 8 years old, and literally from like eight to 15, my nickname around like Boston and all those teams was Hollywood. And then it wasn't Hollywood anymore because I started to stink at hockey. But Nasty knows someone that works in the league that I knew when I was younger when that was my nickname, and he works for the Devils. And he must have told you, right?
Frosty.
Yeah.
Yeah, my man.
Yeah, he had told you that was my nickname. So I played 5 years in New York, nicknamed Hazy or whatever. Yeah. And I show up to Philly, he starts calling me Hollywood. I haven't even met him before. And I'm like,
oh no,
how the hell does this guy know that my nickname when I was younger is Hollywood?
I was thinking it was coming from the Rangers, let alone from 8 years old.
And literally I show up and it's on my all my gear, like all my kitsch and stuff.
I had a great picture of you. You're doing an interview and everyone's, and it's from behind and you see on his thing, it says Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's
pretty cool. So it worked out. And then I start scoring goals at home games and on the Jumbotron, it just says, welcome to Hollywood. And my face is there.
That's so cool. You talk about you being a kid and everything. So growing up, playing obviously hockey there, and you have some family that's, a lot of hockey, you know, involved there. You want to talk about Fitzy and
So my two cousins are Keith Tkachuk and Tommy Fitzgerald, and they have kids that are a little younger than me and my brother. But it's been hockey our whole entire life. Like growing up, everyone's like, "Oh, you're a big Bruins fan." I'm like, "Not really. I love Jumbo Thornton and stuff." But like we weren't really the biggest Bruins fans because every time that the Blues or the Coyotes or whatever team Fitzy was on, he played for a bunch of teams. Came into town, my dad would take whatever class I was in, our whole hockey team, and we would miss school and just go watch this team practice, whether it was at like BU or Northeastern, and we'd all be sitting down there with the books for everyone to sign.
Oh, that's awesome.
These guys, it was unbelievable, but these guys probably saw me for like, if Keith was on a team for more than 5-6 years, the guys were probably like, all right, this kid, how many autographs can this fucking kid get? Like holy shit. But I was a cool kid in class. My dad would always get the bus and bring us to practice and stuff. So, yeah, like, we grew up just adoring Tkachuk and Fitzgerald my whole life. I wanted to be just like them. And it's fun now because now me and my brother were in the NHL and their kids are in the NHL, AHL, really crazy. Good players. Yeah. And we would always – Keith has a Cape house, and we have a Cape house as well. So every year, like, we would just go down to Keith's house and have a wiffle ball tournament. And, like, thinking back then, like, there was 8 to 9 NHL players playing in that wiffle ball tournament have come through the times and all playing in the NHL now. So it's really cool. It's fun to kind of, we won't play them this year, but to see Matthew and Brady and kind of, no one really realizes that we're cousins and stuff, but it's really cool to know that these are the kids when I was younger, they looked up to me and my brother thinking that we were awesome because we were first round draft picks, second round draft picks playing for BC. And Keith's kids wouldn't even listen to Keith because he was a fourth liner.
That's so funny.
He's a Hall of Famer. And,
right.
And he's asking us, hey, tell Matthew this, tell Brady this. I'm like, dude, you were a Hall of Fame player. Like, but at that time, that's how kids work. Whatever you see in front of you on TV is who you listen to. And it's just really cool to kind of, I remember when I was leaving college, deciding where I wanted to play, I called Keith and Tommy and, hey, what do you guys think? And Matthew and Brady had an easier route, but it's just a really cool situation in the family.
It's awesome. I had Fitzy in Florida. My very first year was 93-94, the inaugural year with the Panthers.
He was the captain, right?
He was one of them. Brian Scrudlin was the captain. Yeah. But I just always laughed at Fitzy, and we used to kind of make fun of him. Like, he was kind of cheap, you know? But, I mean, this is back, but I didn't know anything about that because it's my first year in hockey. Yeah, guys would be like, oh, he's cheap, or this guy's cheap, you know, whatever, the chirps you get. And I didn't understand him yet, but I loved him. I thought he was funny, and I loved his accent. I just thought I had never really been around anyone from Boston or whatever. So anyway, I meet Tkachuk. He's like 19 that year, I think, somewhere around there, but he's a captain in Winnipeg. And
opposite personalities.
Oh, my God. And he's actually, I believe Walt's dad was there. It was either Tom's or Walt's. I think it was Walt's dad. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But a few years later, like, I'm with the Flyers now, and Fitzy's playing, God, where else? He played Nashville.
Boston.
So he came in, and it's been like 6 years. So my old man, my dad, Sudsy, was a head equipment guy when I started in Florida. And no one had team shoes back then. So my dad was like, we got to get these team shoes. So he's like, he's ordering these shoes, and they come back, and they're awful. They're those Reeboks that you might actually see people wear now. You know that you're like, those are old school, but these things were like, not even canvas. They were awful. I don't know. But guys are wearing them. A few years later, Fitzy still got them on. It's like 7 years. I'm like, oh, that's what they mean by cheap. They were white, which is a terrible idea, you know, at the rink. And he still had them. They were like a light brown at this point. Right, but exactly. I always laughed at Fitzy. Now he's
GM. He's doing awesome, man. It's really cool to see. But it's interesting that your family, you know, you have so much hockey and your family there. It's pretty cool.
Weddings and family
parties. Oh, I can imagine. Oh, my God. That must be a blast.
My brother got married a couple of years ago on Cape Cod. And, you know, like, you have the welcome party. And we all think that we can have some fun, our whole group of friends. Like, oh, no one's going to outdrink us. We're more fun than everyone else. And Thursday night comes around, and it's like 2 a.m. The bar is closed, and we're kind of like, oh, what should we do? We're like, oh, big day tomorrow. We'll probably just go to bed and get up early, play golf or whatever. All the Kachucks, all the Fitzies are still just ramping it up.
They're just getting going.
My buddies are like, what the hell is going on here? These guys are insane.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's good times. Yeah. Being around pros like that your whole life, when did you realize like you were destined to play in the NHL?
Yeah, probably later than most, actually. I didn't take hockey that serious growing up. I did when I was younger, when I was like really, really good, because when you're younger,
that was when you're Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. You show up to a rink and everyone's like, oh my God, that's that Hayes kid. And like, as a kid, that's the coolest feeling ever. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it to the NHL. And I remember when I was in school, one of my English teachers sent a note home to my parents and was like, you got to stop filling this kid's brain with like nonsense and telling him he's going to the NHL. He writes every single paper about going to the NHL. Like, you guys got to stop. He ain't going to the NHL. And it's funny. It's funny because she still like sends me messages being like, I cannot believe where you are.
Come on.
This is awesome. Insane. Like, I'm so happy for you. But then like high school came around and I like started to like decline a little bit. Like, couldn't really skate. It was probably a little bit overweight. And I just wasn't as good anymore. And as a kid, that's tough to, I was so high up on everyone's list. Right, and then all of a sudden I'm not that good. And then my junior year is the year I got drafted, and I had a really good year, and I went in the first round. I didn't think I was going to go in the first round, and I did. But even then I was like, yeah, hockey's fun, but I'd rather chase broads and do all the other fun stuff. Like, I never got to go on spring break because my dad was always like, you're playing in this tournament every year. Too bad. It's in March. Yeah. And then I went to college. I was like the first round draft pick that went to school a year early. I skipped my senior year of high school and just went right into college. My brother was there. I was playing with my brother and Chris Kreider. So I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a freshman in college. I'm playing with two guys that everyone's talking about going to the NHL. Had an okay freshman year. Sophomore and junior year, might have did a little bit too much partying. And still like was kind of like, oh, I don't know what else I would do in life if I didn't play hockey. So like, what, like, should I go to class more, or do I really focus on being a hockey player? And then I had a really bad injury my junior year. And the doctor was like, yeah, you are never going to play hockey ever again. Like, this was your last game. And at the time I was all drugged up from surgery that I didn't know what he was saying. My dad was like, no, he needs to play hockey. Like, sorry. So like from that moment on, I think it was kind of like an eye-opening experience for me, being like, all right, stop being an idiot off the ice, focus more. Like, if you really want to do something that you tell yourself every day that this is your ultimate job, you got to kind of focus more. So I started doing all the right things that everyone talks about, eating the right way, training the right way, making serious sacrifices to be a good player. And I came back my senior year and got to play with Johnny Gaudreau, and we put on an absolute show.
You had like 72 points or something.
Yeah, it was
like
crazy.
That. You had
it was insane. Especially college, like, but even before then, like, yeah, college, you only play 30 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
It's wild. And like, I always wanted to go to the NHL because it's just an easy path. I played hockey my whole entire life. Every kid wants to go to the NHL.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't think until my senior year of college where I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And hopefully it works out.
That's amazing, actually, because I read like, somewhere that you said like it was like the worst best thing that ever happened to you.
Like, I had four surgeries.
Scary.
Yeah. Four surgeries, eh?
Yeah.
It was a knee on
Hartman syndrome, yeah. And like my knee blew up, and they couldn't do surgery because it was so swollen. So they had to release it, and then they had to take all the fascia out of my leg.
Like the old Cam Neely.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's major. And then like that happened on February 26th, and the next time I skated for the first time was my first senior year practice. And even my coach was like, you can probably find it in an interview. He was like, just because Kevin's a good guy, we're going to let him on the team. Like, we don't think he's going to help our team this year. And then all
72 of a sudden, points later.
Yeah, it was crazy. That's it was insane. A fun year, though.
National championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that must have been
It was
awesome.
It was awesome. We had a line. It was me, Gaudreau, and this kid, Bill Arnold, and we were like scoring at will. Yeah. Like before that, it was literally like my Hollywood ages. Like when I would score 6-7 goals a game when I was younger.
Yeah.
That's what college felt like my senior year. Like we'd show up to the rink and all like the young kids would just be praying that they were on our team for practice because they would just get exposed every day. Yeah.
So that was your draft year then?
No, my draft year was in high school, but like I was drafted by the Hawks. But even the Hawks, like they weren't happy with me. Like they were like, we took you in the first round and not progressing and you scored 1 5-on-5 goal your sophomore year. Like, wow, what's going on here?
And PP?
So, yeah, like, And so, like, I was going to leave after my junior year just to kind of get a change of scenery because sometimes that works for kids. Like, if a coach doesn't like you or you're not playing well, you go to a new team and all of a sudden you're just way better. And then that injury happened. I was going to leave after my junior year, go play in Rockford and figure it out from there. Injury happened, couldn't leave, came back senior year and became a free agent.
Wow. Yeah. That worked out for you. Yeah.
Wow. Worked out well.
So what was it like coming from New York in the rivalry against Philly?
Yeah, it was suiting up.
Yeah, on that side
it was
of it.
Cool, yeah.
We always see the Flyer side.
Yeah. But even like before that, like going from Boston to New York, like all my buddies were like, what the hell are you doing? Like you go to any team. They were like, why don't you go to the Bruins? I'm like, listen, you don't understand. Like you go to a team where you think you're gonna play.
Right.
Like the AHL is a great league, but like the main goal as a player is to spend as little time as possible in the AHL.
Right.
No one wants to
slug out the jungle that long. Yeah.
And so like I met my agent, we figured it out. We narrowed it down to a couple of teams and ultimately chose New York. And it worked out. I made the team. AV was my coach and it worked out well. But playing the Flyers, it was always I knew nothing about Philly besides the fans because it was always a primetime game. Saturday, one or two. Every year.
Yep.
2 or 3 times a year. So we would train in at like, I don't know, 5:30 the night before, go to dinner, go to bed, wake up, and then you have that weird like lunch or breakfast should I eat before the game?
Yeah.
1 o'clock game, and then you're home in New York by 7 p.m. So like I knew absolutely nothing besides how crazy these fans were. Like they were the only fans that would be screaming and swearing at you coming out of the locker room. Like
of the whole
league.
Yeah.
And so that's all I knew about Philly. And then I remember I got traded here. Chuck Fletcher picked me up, kind of drove me around the city, and that's like the first time I actually got to know the city. And then I signed here like 5 days later.
It's fun to hear like the other side from like, because I know in Philly, like especially when I first got here, and even now, like that's a rivalry. You get jacked up for it, but it used to be ugly.
Yeah,
like it could get ugly. It's cool to hear.
In my 5 years, I think we had one really, really ugly game. It was at MSG where there was like 6 or 7 fights.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Like, the benches are right next to each other, and Raffle is sitting there. He's like, hey, Hazy, do you want to go next shift? And I'm like, I haven't fought in the league yet. The only guy that's ever challenged me is Ryan Getzlaff. I can't fight.
Oh, you can't find Getzlaff.
Yeah. No. I'm like, I look down and Raffle's best friend's at Michael Grabner, the other Austrian guy in the league. And I'm like, hey, Grabs, is Raff tough? And he's like, I wouldn't fight him. I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm all set. thanks, but no thanks. And there's like 4 fights going on right now. He's like, next shift? I'm like, yeah, no thanks. See ya.
Raff. Oh, that's classy. He's strong, Raff.
He's a moose.
Yeah.
Well, that Grabner's just ripped to shreds.
Yeah, they probably work out together. Yeah. I want to check their waters.
Well, that's what I always say to him. Like, coming back in, you know, like, he needs a break at Christmas to refuel. Yeah, you know, he always busts his chops about it. So you're in New York. You're playing there. You get traded to Winnipeg. Sorry, Riggs.
The Peg.
You go to the Peg from the NYC, man. Like, not saying anything bad about Winnipeg, bro, but like, it's what a difference.
No, it's,
I mean, it's that had to be like, different.
I loved my time there. It was very short. It couldn't be more opposite than New York City. Like, honestly, there couldn't be a place in the NHL that's more opposite.
Yeah, right.
Like, I remember I got traded there, and Nate Bolger gets traded there too, but he came from Buffalo. He's like, oh, I love it.
That's great.
I'm like, what do you mean you love it?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, like, you can't go walk like, for coffee or you can't. I mean,
like, it's insane. I'm like, this is just, it's just freedom. So different.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost, I don't want to say rude because that just makes Winnipeg look worse than it is. But, like, it's rude to go send someone from New York City to Winnipeg. It's just so different. You walk out of your front door and you're in Times Square or you're doing something memorable every single day outside of the rink in New York City. And then you go to Winnipeg. I didn't leave my apartment.
Yeah, you're shoveling yourself out of the
exactly. Yeah, in April. Yeah.
But then, that's the social part of it. But the hockey part is incredible.
Oh yeah, right. Like they love their hockey.
It's insane. Yeah. It's one of my coolest NHL moments happened my first shift in Winnipeg. I'm there. We're playing against the Wild, and I'm centering line A and Ehlers, and we're second line, so we're second shift up. And I hop over the boards, and Minnie just dumped it in. So it's a full 10-guy change. And I step on the ice, and all of a sudden the whole crowd stands up and starts clapping. And I'm like, this is, like, okay, what's going on? Like, I'm trying to look around. And I loop in. I get a puck pass to me, and then they start going wild. I'm like, holy shit, these people are standing up for me. Like, this is awesome. Insane. Like, that wouldn't happen at MSG. Like, MSG is a great building. It's the most historic building in the world. But, like, it's – they live and die with the big Jets. Yeah.
They feel so connected to their players.
It's free. And then the playoffs.
Yeah.
The whiteout. That's insane. Cool, so, two of my favorite moments, two top, like, five moments in NHL happened in Winnipeg.
Wow.
Like, it's a really cool. And then, like, I go – you know how they have the underground city there?
Yeah, sure.
So, I go to Starbucks. I'm living in the Fairmont, that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to Starbucks and – I'm sitting there just having a coffee by myself, and some guys like, "Are you Kevin Hayes?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, yeah. He's like, "Oh, you mind if I sit down with you?" I'm like, "Fuck me." Like, I'm like, "Yeah, my mom's coming soon." My mom's not in Winnipeg, but I'm like, "Yeah, she's on her way here." He's like, "Oh, I'll just sit here until she comes." I'm like, "Okay, sounds good." And he starts like dissecting our power play to me over coffee. I'm like, "This is just a fan."
Yeah, right.
And so I'm like, "Oh my God, these people live and die hockey."
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, my mom needs my help. I got to go. So I leave. I stop in the convenience store. I've only been there for like 4 days now. And I stop in the convenience store to like pick up like toothpaste or something. And the guy in front of me is like, yeah, I went, not talking to me. He's literally just in front of me paying. He's like, I went to the Jets game last night. And the cashier is like, oh, yeah, we got that new kid, Hayes. And they don't know I'm behind him.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, yeah, he doesn't skate well. He passes too much. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this wouldn't happen in Winnipeg. Like, you know, I mean, it wouldn't happen in New York.
No.
Like,
right.
There's so many people other
paying,
things.
Yeah, exactly. Things they're not paying attention.
So, like, it was really cool to be there and to, like, have that Canadian market.
And, no, for sure.
I mean, they probably don't love me in Winnipeg because I didn't really help the team that much. I got
you played 20 games. How many games are there?
I think I was there for, like, 16 before the playoffs.
Right.
And then... But I mean, it was cool moments.
Yeah,
and it's cool there because they're like a tight knit group in that locker room.
Yeah,
because they don't have a lot else to do, especially when it's cold there.
Oh yeah,
they spend so much time together. But yeah, it was definitely different than Philly and New York.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I remember obviously the day you came in, I met you over at the center with Chuck and a couple other people, and I think it's your personality anyway, but like. I felt like I knew you already.
Yeah.
Like, literally, when I left there, I'm like, this guy's unbelievable. And then, in saying that, like, I just felt like right away when you joined the team, you just felt, it was like you'd been there.
Yeah.
It felt like, to us, you had been there.
Yeah, no, like, I actually had that same question asked to me. They were like, how was it being a new guy on the team, like, a month in? And I was like, honestly, I was, like, a little nervous at the beginning, but, like, 4 or 5 days in, like, the group that they have here in Philly it's unbelievable, the core group that they have here. And one of the hardest things about going to a new team and you sign such a long-term deal for a lot of money, like, guys are probably going to be like, oh, this kid better be really good, or you better be a good guy. And the hardest thing is, like, fitting into the on-ice situation.
Right.
And for me, it was the easiest because AV was my coach for 5 years
in
New York. So that part I had no stress about. So my only stress was kind of like, all right, how are these guys going to like me? Do I be myself right away? Do I kind of let the older guys? And I remember AV and Chuck didn't grab me together, but like different meetings were like, hey, we think you're a great player, but we know your personality. Like we really want you to really buy in right away. And in my head, I'm like, paying me a ton of money, I might as well like really invest myself. And literally from day one, the guys probably were annoyed with me because I didn't shut up from day one. But now I feel like I've been here for 5 years.
Yeah, right. It seems like when you talk to people.
Yeah.
I've told a lot of people this, like, so when Scott Hartnell got moved, we kind of lost something in the room, and when you came, it was like, I said to even the guys would say, you know, like, that's like, you're like heartsy, like, you know, a lot of like, you know, when to have fun, you know, when to bust balls, but when it's time to go, you're also ready to go. Yeah. And that's huge for a team. And that's huge in the locker room, man. Like, you know, even, you know, when you guys, when you're coming out before the game and you got you know, all the nicknames you've given everybody, which is so great. Right. It was huge for the team, man. Yeah. And I think that's why we had a great start. And obviously you guys had a great run. I wasn't unfortunately there for all of it, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, you fit right in, man. It was
like,
awesome.
For me though, it's in any workspace, like whether it's you guys, like you, if you're having fun, it's way easier to show up and try on.
That's the truth.
And if you have a connection with your team, like, yeah, it sucks to let the fans down, to let your coaches down, but there's no worse feeling than to like look at someone across in the locker room and you're like, fuck, I didn't give it my all tonight. Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And when everyone's having so much fun, it's just so much easier to just go out there and give it your all every night. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah. Well, it shows, man, for sure.
Yeah. With when you talk about, you know, the locker room, and there's obviously some other funny characters in there, and you're obviously one of them. Like, who comes to mind, like, right away when you talk about the...
I mean, Jake's a huge personality. He's awesome. And then even when I showed up here, like, when you play against a team so much, like, we're in the Metro when I was in New York, you kind of put personalities to people you don't know just how the way they play.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm guilty for that.
Like, you're like, oh, I hope that guy's a bad guy because I hate him.
Yeah,
right. You know what I mean? Like, and then I show up here, I'm like, the only two guys I think I'm going to have a problem with this year is Konechny and Scott Lyon, because I hate them on the ice. I'm like, there's no way these two guys can be good guys.
Always chirping.
They're just good chirpers, man. They can't. Like, no one on the team can like them. They just have no friends. I know it.
Right.
And I show up, and it's like the two guys I love the most. Like, it's TK and Sandy. They have their relationship.
Oh, my Lyon God.
And Raffle. The team has a bunch of funny guys.
Yeah.
I wish that everyone could be mic'd up and really get to see the personalities. But we have a good group. The locker room is pretty chill and fun until it really needs to be serious. And then you have G, who likes to fuck around and stuff, but he's also the captain and knows when to be serious. So he kind of sets the tone. And then you have like me and Jake that kind of keep it light. And work hard, but keep it light as well.
You got to have those roles for sure.
Exactly.
It's the glue, man. For sure. Get a little more serious. I've read somewhere that you consider yourself a 200-foot player, and you like said it several times. I mean, you might have answered your question already when you talked about your injury there. But when did you realize that like you had to play that way? You weren't just a skilled guy, you know, putting up numbers in college.
Yeah, probably not until I got to the NHL. Okay. Honestly, with AV, I was in college on the power play on the half wall. Didn't step on the PK my whole career. I show up to AV and it's, you know, when the coach puts the lines on the board before the game, like, these are the four lines. This is the 10 power play guys. This is the six power play forwards.
Yes.
And you only see your name on the fourth line, left side. You're like, oh, what am I doing here? Like, I'm not in the power play. I'm not in the PK, and I'm playing fourth line center. Like, this is a shot to my ego. I'm usually running the half wall and getting like 10 chances a night. And I remember meeting with AV and I'm like, what can I do to get my name on the right side of the board where those guys like to have fun over there? And he's like, you got to play the right way. Like, everyone tells me how good of an offensive guy you are, and you have 8 points so far. Like, what's going on here? Where's the offense coming? And that's when I kind of bought into being a good 200-foot player. And I watched a lot of film. I remember watching a bunch of stuff on like Kopitar. I mean, he's elite.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
But he's an easy guy to watch. Rick Nash, Eric Staal. Like, those guys are all-stars. And it's funny because you're watching film and trying to learn, but then you're playing against those guys every night. I was lucky enough to play with Nasher and Eric Staal. And those are like in my combine, say rewind, 6 years earlier, I'm in my combine meetings. They're like, oh, who do you play after? I'm like, oh, Rick Nash and Eric Staal. And now they're in my dressing room. Like, this is amazing. But yeah, I would say my second half of my first year is when I really bought into playing the right way. And I owe a lot of it to AV. It's funny because he's my coach now, but and will be for a long time.
Yeah.
But I definitely owe a lot to him. And then when I come here, I didn't know much about Coots either. But he's younger than me, but I still watch film of him. Like, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's the 200-foot player right now, him and a couple other guys in the league. But, yeah, I mean, for everyone that's, like, trying to be, like, the right player in the locker room, it's way more fun in the locker room when you're dependent on all the situations. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can get better at it. And the sooner you just feel better about yourself as a player.
Such a good message for young up-and-coming hockey players.
It's fun scoring all the goals.
Yeah, everyone loves to score goals. I mean,
I hate when like reporters are like, oh, your stats aren't great this year. I'm like, yeah, I want to score 82 goals this year. Like, our fourth liners want to score 82 goals this year. It's not going to happen. Like,
but we've won 9 in a row.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly, right.
Yeah, and But yeah, the sooner you realize you can help the team out in many ways besides scoring. And it's tough to be the best player on your team when you're younger, go to a new team and all of a sudden you're not the best player, but you can bring other things.
Yeah.
Lawton's kind of, Scott Lawton had that kind of situation where he was in the NHL, but kind of in between and he had to go down for,
yeah, he came back down
for you. You were coaching. There, yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
swallow the pride pill a little bit sucks, and be like, this is what, you know, this is the only way I'm going to stay.
And then you can like swallow it and be like, oh, that coach is an asshole. Yeah. But like, he's not an asshole.
Yeah.
Right.
There's just guys that do other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing sexy about playing, you know what I mean? Having to do the extra grunt work and, you know, back checking extra. Exactly. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to score the goals, especially when you're younger. It's just like, it just comes so naturally for most guys that, again, you have to change the way you think and play because otherwise you're going to be that suitcase.
The better you'll be off.
Yeah, no kidding. I know you have ties in Boston, New York, and Philly. Do you have any charity work that you do that ties you back in the community?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, my skates, the CG on my skates and stuff. I'm still using the same skates.
I was going to bring that up.
This is year three.
Yeah.
Just a foundation back home, Corey Griffin Foundation. It's they build a house next to the hospital back home in Boston for kids who can't really celebrate Christmas because they're sick. And that's one part of it. And then the other part is to provide an easier way for inner city kids to get into sports teams and to get into schools. And unfortunately, Corey passed away, but his legacy lives on through this foundation. And it's a huge foundation back at home. And so I raised money for that. And then this year when I came to Philly, I did Hayes' Heroes for first responders. Every night, two first responders get to come to a game and I meet them after and give them a puck or a stick and chat with them for a couple minutes. And it seems like it's going good.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sure they're loving that. Yeah. It's important stuff, the first responders. Yeah, they don't get the love that they need.
No, not at all. Those
are what they deserve.
They don't get paid enough and they don't get enough recognition for what they do. And I have a bunch of friends back home who are cops, and it's tough to do it back home because if you do it for one precinct and, you know, 50 people in other precincts, they're like, well, why aren't you helping us? And it's I try my best to help everyone. So I thought that this was the easiest way. So I guess firehouses and precincts can, their families can nominate them to become available for Hayes' Heroes. And I don't pick the winners or whatever. Someone in the media does, someone in the PR does, and reaches out to them. And two first responders show up to every game. And it's fun to hear their stories. Yeah. And they feel they're grateful for it. I started that in New York when we went to the 9/11 Museum. I don't know if you guys have been there in New York.
No.
We had a team building thing where we got a private tour of 9/11. And then a couple families that got affected by 9/11 talked to us in like a forum, and it was really cool. And literally I remember walking to our PR guy and I was like, I want to do something, I don't know what, to somehow help those families out. And so in New York it was families affected by 9/11 who lost someone that's a first responder, their families would come to the games and I would meet them after. And then when I came to Philly, it just became first responders.
Okay.
That's really good. Speaking about your equipment and your skates you've been wearing for 3 years, so he comes in, you know. Well, actually, I sent you a little bit of equipment.
Yeah.
So I sent him a pair of gloves, right? So we have two sets of gear. Well, the Flyers have two sets of gear when I was there, and you still do. But so he finally comes in. He's got these skates, and I had a couple pairs of new skates. So, well, I don't think I'll be getting into those. And I'm like, well, how long have you been wearing? Well, I wore these all last year. And I'm like, you don't wear a pair of skates more than a year? You know, meanwhile, Jake's changing every 2 days. So we have three jerseys as well. So in all, we had four different helmets for the guys. And every day, he's like, how many fucking helmets do we have here? Like, I don't. So then I put the orange gloves for the third jerseys, right? And he's like, can you take my gloves back and forth every game? I'm like, dude, I didn't even do this for Pronger. Like, he's like, please, man, I'll make sure I put them in the bin. So anyway, we're kind of doing that. But so put the orange gloves out for him. He's like, I can't wear those. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm going to wear these gloves for the next couple of years, man. I'm like, no. We wear orange. You have to wear them. They have the orange. So I literally put them on the Hydroc for like 30 minutes. I tape them. And these things, they're like, they look like they've been 10 years old at this point. And he's just like, I don't think I can do it, man. But anyway.
So I'm on year three of those skates. Year two of the gloves.
It's impressive. It's
comfort.
Right. It is
the gloves. I'll be willing. You got me to switch the palms out in the gloves.
Yeah.
That was a big step. same gloves, just cut out the palms, which literally is a different glove.
But yeah.
In my head, yeah. Mentally, they're the yeah, same right? ones. So
it wow. blew my mind because the only other guy, like G, actually would try to get a full year out, but he eventually would change. But 3 years, man.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, that's a slippery
I'm like beyond. Yeah, I think I'm beyond like the. I'm so comfortable in these skates now that it'll take forever to get into them. Like, that's how comfortable they are.
Yeah.
That's how worn down they are. They're disgusting. Like, you change the eyelets all the time.
Oh, my
like,
God.
It's,
I did. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Take another 3 years to break a new pair.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
I was reading somewhere that you had your own beer named after you in Philly here.
Yeah. I don't know how that came about. I think, you know, Yards?
Yeah, sure.
So Bobby Had goes there a bunch. And I think Goody had his own beer there.
Did he?
The Radko Gudas beer or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I just scored a penalty, shorthanded goal. Next game, I scored another shorthanded goal. And then we win the next game. And I'm at the Yards brew house there. And it's an old city, I think it's
yeah,
in.
Old city, yeah.
And the guy, Frank, comes up to me and he's like, hey, like, we're coming out with a new beer. And it's like a hazy IPA, which I guess is like a H-A-Z-Y. Like, it's a type of IPA. He's like, your last name's Hayes, you're playing great, the city loves you, like, do you mind if we do it like with your name on it and stuff? I'm like, yeah, I don't care, I don't need any money, don't worry about it. It actually was like a huge thing. It sold out like in a couple of days. They started selling hats and t-shirts, so it's called like the Big Hazy.
The Big Hazy.
Yeah, the Big Hazy.
It's pretty good. They're heavy, awesome. But I wouldn't drink too many of them, but they're pretty good.
That's good. Love the name.
And that was the Manscaped moment of the show. Support for Nasty Knuckles is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision, engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Guys, I know you've all been there before. Maybe Riles hasn't because he's not always taking care of himself, but when you're trimming your balls and you cut yourself, it's not a great feeling. It stings. There's blood everywhere. Just not a whole lot of fun. That's why Manscaped has designed this electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Hazy, by the look of your face, I'm just hoping that you've taken care of the rest of yourself. This is probably going to be for you. The third generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin-safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology.
Seven thousand.
That's a lot, boys. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours, Hazy. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Knuckles at manscaped.com. Trust me, your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Knuckles at manscaped.com. That's 20% off of free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code Knuckles. So the bubble, you've heard some people talk about. What was it like?
Yeah, it was different. It was like a high class prison, a nice high class prison.
Well said.
Yeah. we had the same schedule every single day, and we were fenced in by these like huge black fences. We were lucky. Of the four bubbles that were in the playoffs, we had the best one by far. We had two pools, tennis courts, basketball court, ping pong, three restaurants. We got to use the BMO field in Toronto, which was the Toronto FC, I think their soccer name is.
Yeah.
So that was available for us. So we could just go hang out there, play spike ball, bocce ball, frisbee or whatever. These other bubbles didn't even have AC, I heard. Which is insane. Yeah. Like in Edmonton, the AC kind of went out, I heard. Yeah. And so it wasn't for me. I don't have any kids, so it wasn't too bad. I feel bad for the guys that have wives and kids and stuff.
Tough, it's a long time.
Yeah. It's probably took a toll on them more than me. I got to hang out with the guys. So I was pumped.
So yeah. Provy said, yeah, exactly. Ivan was on, was, and he said it was, for me, it was like going to hockey camp.
Exactly. You know? It was, yeah, we got paid to go to hockey camp. It did get old for sure, but then you get more important games as it's getting older.
Yeah.
So it gets more exciting
right.
while getting old off the ice. But no, overall, it's a good experience. Something that we can all say we were part of. Hopefully, it never happens again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. You wake up in the morning, you go to practice, you get to do your COVID testing every day. Can't leave until you get the thing up your nose. Get in the bus, go to like the beginning. It was crazy. It was a legit kids camp. Like there was four arenas, but there was how many teams? 12 teams were there, I think. So four arenas, yeah, three teams got nominated to each arena. If you were the third team that day, the ice was complete shit.
Oh,
couldn't even shoot.
Think of that.
But like it was, but everyone had to do it eventually. If you were third on day one, you were first the next day. So everyone kind of was in the same boat. And the weirdest thing probably was the first preseason game when you go out, there's not a single person in the crowd for so warm-ups. Different. Like warm-ups are fun. You get to mess around with your teammates, mess around with you. And you see everyone going crazy in the crowd. And that was non-existent. Like it was really weird. Like you could literally hear the other team's conversation during the three line drills. Like that was weird. But then as it got going, like, our first three games were serious, but it wasn't do or die. We were in fourth place going into it.
You could only go
back. We lost all three games. We were still in fourth place. We won all three games and went to first place. Mm-hmm. Those games weren't as high intense as the other games, but it was a nice little like way to kind of get into it. And then once the playoffs started, it was electric, honestly. The fans would have made it better, obviously. Like anything, if people are watching you, it's more fun. But yeah, every game got more and more intense. And then you get to game seven of the second round and you're one game away from the conference finals. But no, I would say it was overall, it was a fun situation, a fun experience. I had fun. I became a gamer again, still am. So
yeah.
Played Xbox every day.
Yeah.
Unlimited surf and turf.
Exactly. High-end
prison. Yeah, high-end. Yeah,
it was a nice high-end, really fancy prison.
Yeah, now, did you see Rod Brendamore out there working out on the field?
Yeah.
Did you go stand beside him and take your shirt off?
No, not me.
I was just making sure. I don't think anyone would.
But again, it was weird too. Like so the BMO field was in our bubble, but the other bubble was allowed to come hang out at the BMO. So it was weird, like – I don't know, you just played the Montreal Canadiens in game one and there was a couple fights and everyone, tensions were running high. And then the next day you have a day off and they're on the same soccer field as you. Like, obviously we're in a day where nothing's going to happen, but it's still awkward.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
they're
right there and then we go to dinner in the BMO and they're right next to us. It's just something that would never happen if it wasn't COVID, obviously. But
right.
So it was weird kind of seeing them and they weren't in the Islanders were in our actual hotel the second round. So, like, I'm in line getting coffee before the game, and there's just three guys in the Islanders in front of me. Like, it's just like, oh, I'll see you on the ice.
Right. It's so different.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go at it soon.
Yeah. And, like, TK just runs his mouth. I'm sure the bubble wanted to kill him the whole time.
I'm sure.
He was there. I'm sure Patty Maroon wanted them dead one night. Yeah. It was funny.
How's it been leading up to the season this year with, protocols? And
yeah, it was good. I mean, my life didn't change too much. We have a good group back in Boston. We had access to a gym and ice. So there's like 15 of us that play in the NHL that live around town.
Nice.
So my life kind of was the same. Played golf and worked out and skated pretty much every day. And then I came back here a week before camp started to do the quarantine. Everyone seems like they're in pretty good shape. So
they miss a beat?
No.
Beautiful.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of goes to what you're saying about TK and Lotz, but you scored a big goal, overtime goal in Columbus.
Yeah.
I was unfortunately not there, but obviously watching, and you turn and you give the bell, which I love. But the funny part of it is the boys are coming to celebrate with you.
TK, yelling.
He could care less about hugging you. He's chirping to whoever you beat, you know? Yeah, so yeah, exactly. He's just giving it. You just see everyone's like so excited hugging him, and he's just got her going. Oh, I laughed my ass off.
We'll be playing against guys that I played with in New York that are now on different teams. And like I remember McDonough, we're in the prelims, like the before the real playoffs start, but what was that, the round robin that we played in? And TK just running his mouth the whole game. And McDonough, like, not even yelling at TK, skates up to me. He's like, does this kid ever shut up? Like, is he what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you would love him if you got to know him. Yeah, right. Because I was McDonough.
Yeah.
Before I met TK.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my God, this fucking kid. But it's just funny to, like, now be on this side of it, like him and Lion.
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine what guys are thinking about both of them. Yeah.
Even when we played the outdoor game in Philly here in 2019, he was mic'd. Well, a lot of guys are mic'd. Yeah. You know how those games are. And someone on the Penguins, I'm not sure who it was because it doesn't really show, but someone on their bench goes, God, shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, just the whole game. He's just
relentless.
And I used to love it. I'd laugh my ass off because he'd just get under people's skin.
The better he plays. Kill
the guy. Yeah,
the more exactly. He is more
involved. Yeah. So, that's awesome.
All right, that interview was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening. For all your hockey needs, visit settlemyerskatesharpening.com. And also Body Check Wellness. For all your CBD and functional mushroom products, check out bodycheckwellness.com. Want to thank Kevin Hayes for hopping on Nasty Knuckles podcast and sharing some of his story with us. He was awesome. What an amazing story. And wanted to reflect on the fact that he had essentially a career-ending injury in college and landed up rehabbing from it, and not only rehabbing from it, almost flourishing as a hockey player. And as he describes it, it was the best, worst thing that had ever happened to him. You know, what a guy. I mean, Nass, you were in the locker room with him. Why don't you talk a little bit about Hazy and his character and how he's evolved as not just a hockey player, but as a human.
He was, I think we talked about it a little bit. He was what I felt like the team was missing. Obviously, there's some funny individuals on that team. Great group of guys, but it just seemed to be the glue that brought everything together. It was so much fun, seriously, daily, just him walking in the rink. He's always happy. And he said, thinking back to when he was told he probably will never play hockey again, he enjoys every day being at the rink. And you can tell because he is fun. He makes everybody laugh. He makes everybody feel good. He knows when it's time to, you know, buckle down and play. But it's so much fun to have a guy like that, you know. And you remind me of Scott Hartnell. Hartsy was always like that. And I kind of compared them last year to that. I just loved him. He was a treat every day. He was, like I said, always happy, always positive. And he'd been there, you know. It was like he had been on that team for the last 5 years. When he walked into that room that first day, it was like, okay, this guy belongs here, you know, like,
yeah.
It was fun. He was just a lot of fun to be around. And you could see in the interview, he's just such a good person. He's got a big heart. He does a lot of things for people, and he's a hell of a hockey player. And we were kidding around with him. I don't remember him when he played with the Rangers against us holding the puck the way he does, almost keep away. He does it a lot now.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did, but I feel like now, I don't know, confidence, just becoming a better player. You could probably speak on that. I've never played at a high level, obviously, but he's just a hell of a player, man. I mean, what a signing for the Flyers.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I can't really compare myself to Kevin Hayes and hanging on to the puck in the corner, but I know what you're talking about. It's definitely a confidence thing, right? I mean, as you grow older and you grow into your own and you find more of an established role, I think he's a perfect example of a 200-foot player that really understands both ends of the game and is flourishing on the offensive side of things. But he's a great overall signing. There's no question. Like you said, he's the glue. He's a character guy. The mood, right? I mean, the vibe of a player is so important. You know, we've all seen guys that come in the rink angry in the morning. Yeah. It's like, you know, what type of guy are we getting today? To have a guy that you always know what you're going to get when he comes in the locker room. And like you said, the glue keeps it loose, but is there to bring the team together and in clutch moments, he's there. But he also talked about, you know, that again, that 200 foot game and the fact that he never learned that part of it until he was in the NHL under AV in New York there, you know, and he just wants more playing time, wants more minutes. And AV was obviously honest with him and saying, guess what? You can't just be an offensive guy. And he wasn't even putting up big numbers at that time. You right. got to play the 200-foot game. You got to be good in, you know, in all areas of the ice. And obviously he's accepted the challenge and he's improved his game. And that, now that's what he takes pride in. So it's really awesome to see someone evolve like that again, from a really bad injury and evolve, putting your ego aside. And you know, you can't just be that go-to offensive guy all the time, you know, changing your role. It's impressive, you know. I think for young kids, you know, looking up to NHL players, I mean, he'd be a good one to look up to for many reasons, fighting through the adversity and, you know, changing his game and being a good coachable player. I mean, I love the guy. I know I never played with him, but just from, you know, meeting him a couple of times and his feeling, his vibe and, you know, seeing how he plays the game.
Yeah. He's amazing. Like I said, it's one of the things I really miss about, you know, not being there anymore was a guy like him. He was just, he made it every day. You're like, oh, I can't wait till Hazy. Well, it sounds cheesy, but you're like, you can't wait to see the guy. He makes you laugh. He, you know, makes you feel good, and he does it to everyone, you know? So, you know, every team, you love having guys like that, man. It's just like you said, it helps everything. It's nice. You're not worried. Oh, how's this guy going to come in today? Hazy comes in smiling ear to ear, funny. He's got something to say. I loved getting to work with him for, you know, a little bit of time anyway. And Riles, you know, I was thinking, you don't want to really compare yourself to him. I've seen you do things on the ice when you played, dude, for a guy to get a pass, and you're coming in as the puck ends up in two. That's impressive. I've seen you chop a puck right in half. Stick handling.
Two, so, are you sure?
Guys are fucked like up on the ice because there's two pucks. No, Riggs. Riggs was stick handling.
And that's why the stick was always in the air. Never stick on puck. And I was in kill mode, you know?
Yeah.
I needed to do. Handling the puck is not one of those things, but yeah, it's tough to compare me hanging on to the puck in the corner like old Hazy or Yogs or anybody.
Yeah. You never tried it. I think you could.
Never tried it. Yeah, I never gave it the old college try. I think if I would have a little bit more on playing hockey, I might have been able to handle the puck a little bit more. But
there was
10 scooter feds later and pots of coffee. It's hard to manage the puck and be composed.
It is. It definitely is. And it reminds me a little bit of story. My dad, Sudsy Settlemyer, was a trainer for a long time with the Flyers. And when Keenan was coaching, he was really hard on the European guys. And Ilkka Sinisalo, who was a great player, God rest him, you know, passed away a couple of years ago. Ilkka didn't care what Mike was saying. And he just would give it back to him. And I think Mike liked it. But
yeah, I think he did. Yeah.
You know, so quick story about him. It just reminded me of you. He's sitting Ilkka on the bench and you get a power play and everybody's like, you know, he's putting Ilkka out on the power play. It's tie game. My dad's telling me, sorry, it's tie game. So Keenan comes over and he's like pushing on Ilkka a little bit. Can you score a goal, Ilkka? You think you can actually do something? Pretty hard from here, Mike, because he's on the bench.
Right.
It was hard for you to hold the puck when you're on the bench sometimes. Yeah,
exactly. Separating the D and the forwards,
it's,
you know.
It's just tough, man. The grocery stick.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
It's tough to score, man, when you're sitting on the bench, you know.
There's many people would love to be in that position. You worked your ass off to get there, and it's I'm just busting your chops. But pretty hard to do it when you're not out there as much as Hazy.
That's the truth, you know. And thinking back too, it's like, I remember times sitting on the bench, you know, hadn't had a shift in maybe 25, 30 minutes, you know, sometimes I missed the second period and then we're down like three or four goals in the third or something. And I was like, oh, hey, all right, Rouse, every shift here now. It's like, at that point, I'm like, do I really even want to go out? My legs are seized.
Nast, where's the oxygen tank?
Yeah, exactly. My mind's totally out of the game at that point because it's, you know, usually in the early parts of the game is when you try and bring the energy and the whole bit. But, it was a blessing to ever play one NHL game. I'm thankful for it all. And, Yeah, I wish I could have spent a little more time focusing on playing hockey. Maybe it would have extended my career a little bit, but all good. I'm happy with the way things turned out, and here we are. So
it's awesome.
Well, that pretty much wraps up episode 6 of Nasty Knuckles. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 7. See you later, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.